Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. This is sort of a continuation of last week's In the Box. We talked, who knows what In the Box was about? What did we talk about In the Box? Aaron's rod that budded. Tonight we're going to talk about the pot of manna, but tonight's message is called provision. Provision. I want to just look at Exodus 16 verse 33. And then we're going to go a little earlier in that. Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein. Lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. That means he put it in the Ark of the Covenant. So now, the Torah, two books of the law, the pot of manna, and the rod that budded are in the Ark of the Covenant. What did the manna represent? Tonight's message, of course, provision. So let's go earlier in that chapter, verse 10. It came to pass, as Aaron spoke unto the whole congregation of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. Okay, a wilderness is an empty place. Wilderness, in the Hebrew, wilderness is different from desert. Wilderness is midbar, and that means a seasonal wilderness. So if the word wilderness is used here, I didn't actually look to see if it's truly midbar. But if it is, then they were not in the Sinai exactly. The Sinai is not a seasonal desert. The Sinai is a permanent year-round desert, a sand dune desert. However, a midbar, Jericho and the Judean wilderness is a midbar. It rained once after 3 years that I was there. So there, it rained, so that is not, and it was seasonal. In fact, parts of the Judean wilderness, in the wintertime, they would take their flocks there to graze. There were actually grazing areas, but that's beside the point. Is it Midbar? So they were probably not yet in the heart of the Sinai, but on the edges in an area that was a Midbar and not the desert itself. And the Lord spoke, out of an emptiness, out of a barrenness, comes the glory of God. Sometimes we look for the glory of God where it already is, right? You hear the glory, I mean, you've probably heard people, they invite you over to play because, oh man, the glory of God is there. So people will go from where they are to there because that's where the glory of God is, or that's where they say the glory is falling, or that's where a revival is happening. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to point out that that is not always the case with God. Because here, they look to an empty place, and that's where the glory of God was coming. The glory of God will manifest when God has a reason and a purpose. When he has a reason and a purpose, he will manifest himself. Now, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them. Tell them, at evening you shall eat flesh, in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. How are they going to know that God is their God? His provision. He says, I'm going to provide food, meat at night, bread in the morning, and you will know I'm God. So basically he's saying that through my provision, you will know that I am God. Through my provision. This is one of the ways we know God is with us today, through his provision. we trust God. Blessed are those that believe and yet have not seen, Jesus said. But when we, even if we don't see and we believe, what do we receive? The promises of God, the blessings of God. And we know God through his provision. Jesus is the provision of God. Healing is the provision of God. Breakthrough, answered prayer, things that we pray for, these are the provision of God. All right, keep going. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about. And behold, when the dew was evaporated, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as frost. This past winter, we had frost here in South Carolina. Several times I saw frost. Did any of you examine the frost? Did any of you see how small the frost crystals are? They're not big. Now, a whole blade of grass or a bush with frost on it, it looks like it's all one big thing, but it's all little tiny crystals. This was not big stuff. When we think of manna, I don't know, when I was a kid and I thought of manna, I thought it was like that big. You know, big round wafers falling everywhere, like Ritz crackers falling all over the place, you know? But God's not Keebler. Is that who makes Ritz crackers? Isn't it Keebler? I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe Ritz makes them for all I know. Who is it? Nabisco makes them? Really? Nabisco makes Ritz crackers? Okay. I thought they made breakfast cereal. Nabisco. That too? They make dog food also? Don't tell me that. So Ritz crackers are just one step away from dog food? Is that what you're telling me? I hope there's no overlap in that factory. All right. When the dew that was gone up, it lay a small round thing, small as the frost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they knew not what it was. Ma, right? What? Ma, what is this? I think basically that's what they called it. What is this? No, we'll get the Hebrew expert to tell us.
Mana means portion.
Portion.
Portion. Like if I'm going to go...
But if it's smaller than frost, it's not much of a portion, is it?
If I'm going to go get a falafel, I can ask for a half of a portion.
Half a falafel.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, a falafel's that big, half of that is going to be a lot bigger than a thing of frost on the ground.
Right, whatever your portion, but it's a portion.
Now, we're going to get to the portion, actually, in just a moment on that, so that's good. Mana. They knew not what it was, and Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." And that's interesting. The provision of God may not be in a form that we expect it. The provision of God. God said, "I will give you bread in the morning." He gives them the bread. They don't know what it is. They're probably looking for cooked bread. They're probably looking for bread. And this is not bread. This is manna. And Moses said, "This is the bread that the Lord said he'd give you. This is the thing which the Lord commanded. Gather it, every man according to his eating, an omer. For every man, according to the number of your persons, take you every man for them which are in his tents." An omer. An omer is, let me see, I got it written down. Half a gallon. Omer is approximately half a gallon. So each of you, each day, would get a half gallon of manna. That's how much you would collect. Half gallon per person each day. How much would you get on Friday? We haven't gotten there yet. A gallon. There you go. Somebody's a math scholar in the back. A gallon. That's right. A double portion. I'll get there in a few moments. The children of Israel did so, gathered some more, some less. When they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. So they must have pooled it together and then measured out everybody an omer. Everyone got a half gallon. So he that gathered little, and I don't think that means that he was lazing about waiting for his government check to come in. I think it means that he just couldn't gather as quickly or as fast. If you have somebody who is infirm or elderly or little, they may not be able to gather as much as someone who's in his 20s, 30s, or like me in their 40s, right? And be able to gather it. I didn't hear any amens on that. I can dream, can't I? Well, actually, you know what? In this day in which I can wake up and believe that what is it? It's not believe. What do they say? Identify as a certain gender, and we got to call them that. Well, I identify as a 40-year-old. So you got to just accept that I'm 40. Sorry, I'm married to an older woman. You know, what can I say? By a year. You know, just by a year. Anyway, back to the word. It's one of those nights. And Moses said, let no man leave it until the morning. You can't, well, a couple of things about this. They have to go out and get it. If I were there, I would hang buckets on my tent so that I could sleep in. Now, when I sleep in, I don't sleep in that late anyway, but let everybody else go out and get it. I'm just going to hang the buckets on my tent. The man is going to fall in the buckets when I get up the next morning and have at least an omer. And I'll put enough buckets out to get at least an omer. Doesn't work like that, because the manna didn't fall on the camp. It fell outside the camp, which means everybody had to get up and go out and collect it. Everybody had to go out and collect it. They couldn't just wait for it to come to them. Many times people are waiting for the provision of God to come to them, aren't we? We pray, we believe, we did our part, Lord. We prayed in faith, we believe, we called those things that be not as though they are. We're holding fast the confession of our faith. Now, let it fall on me. It doesn't work like that. We still have to go out and get it by faith. Get it in the spirit. It is not falling on the camp. It's outside of the camp, which means we've got to move. We've got to be active. And our faith is not just to sit and wait. I remember Kenneth Hagin used to say, for the blessings of God to fall like ripe cherries off a tree. That always reminds me when I say that. I mean, I don't say that very often, but and I don't hear it very often anymore. I used to hear it all the time listening to him when he was alive. One time, I had the most idyllic day. We were ministering in Italy, and we were staying at a farmhouse in Emilia Romagna. That's where, what comes from there? What do you think? Romano? No, Parmesan comes from there. They make it nearby. Anyway, and these people had cherry trees, and it was cherry season. And I was walking, picking cherries from the tree and eating them. I never had cherries right off a tree like that. How delicious that was. That was really special. Anyway, has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses. Some of them left it till the morning because, of course, why go out and collect every day? I'll just collect twice as much today, and I'll sleep in tomorrow. Doesn't work like that. The Lord wants us to be about his business every day. We don't get a day off from being a Christian. Tomorrow's my day off. I'm going to be filled with sin and degradation, and then I'll be back to repent the day after. Don't worry, I'll be in church on Sunday. That's not my day off. Sunday's a God's day. I'll serve God on Sunday. But Saturday, whew, I'm off. Saturday night, I'm off. Doesn't work like that, does it? They hearken not. Some of them left it till morning, and it had worms. And that's really fast. How many of you have noticed more bugs in your food these days? Anybody? Nobody but us? They're not irradiating our food anymore. And I don't mean they put it on the radiator. You know, it started back in the 70s, I think, and went through the 80s and 90s. They exposed our grains and things to radiation to kill everything in it, because they can't possibly keep all the bugs out of the food. I hope nobody's squeamish tonight, but you know that the FDA does not require our food to be bug-free. They limit the amount of bugs in the food. You all know that, right? Every food, not just peanut butter. I know there was a big peanut butter scare 30 years ago. Didn't stop me from eating peanut butter. So what if there are a few insect parts in it? Yeah. Well, I've noticed since they've stopped doing that, that there are more bugs. I don't know. I've noticed more bugs in things like wheat and in things. You know, it's not that they're, you know, it's not that we have a buggy house they're getting in, because it could be in a sealed container, and yet they're bugs that I'm not talking about overnight like here, but over time, if you don't use it, they can hatch in there. Anyway, I know I'm talking to people who have super clean houses and Not a single person. They're all like, oh, no, Pastor Frank. Comments are coming in. Well, before you comment too much, just let me explain that I do believe that I am healthier because I live with the Bedouin, sat on the dirt, ate on the dirt, and probably ate dirt, okay? Eating dirt is not bad for us. It actually gives us antibodies that most of our antiseptic lives we miss. Enough said, I'm done. Because I can't clinically prove it. They gathered every man, every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, there are several lessons here. First of all, we can't go serving God, hot, on fire for God, going to church every week, going to church every service, and then, I'm taking a break. I'm doing my own thing. I've been serving God. I mean, I was so faithful to that church, but now I'm going to back out and maybe hang out for a while. Can't do that. Every day we gather. Every day you gather, except on the Sabbath, but I'll talk about that in a minute. We can't gather it so much, the presence of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, that we're just going to live off of that. We're going to live off of what we got now for the next several years. We're just going to live off. No, it doesn't work like that. And here, if we're not gathering when we should, it disappears. It's not like, serve God, I'll get to it when I have time. Oh, I'll read the word when I have time. I'll pray when I have time. Go to church, 9:30 in the morning, that's a little too early for me. I deserve to sleep in on Sunday. It's my one day a week I get to sleep in. You mean two services, 7 o'clock in the evening, two? You mean two times going to church on Sunday? Last time I checked, it's called the Lord's Day, right? Not my day. The Lord's Day. So I don't think that's changed. I think it's still the Lord's Day. And we should serve Him on that day. So here, if they don't go out and get it, it melts. It disappears. I pray that none of the provision that God has purchased for us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus disappears because we haven't gotten there out of laziness. Because according to this, His provision goes away if not collected. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much. 2 omers for each man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. He said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Now, notice this. The rulers came to tell Moses because everybody found twice as much. It wasn't that they took twice as much time. Apparently, there was twice as much there. And in the same amount of time they collected an omer, they got 2 omers. So the rulers got upset. They came, they didn't know what to, so they came and said, Moses, we got a problem here. Everybody's gotten two. And Moses explains and says, that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest. It's a Sabbath. And you bake what you have today, cook what you have today, and whatever you have left, you keep till tomorrow, and it's not going to get worms. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses said, and it did not get wormy. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. So, on the Sabbath, no manna fell. It fell Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It also fell Sunday, sorry. But it didn't fall on Saturday, the Sabbath. And twice as much fell on Friday. There is no mistake that the provision of God is specific, in a specific time, in a specific place, and a specific value. He knows what He's doing, and He can give us a double portion, or He can give us a no portion. There was no portion on the Sabbath, a double portion the day before. Sometimes when we come into a double portion of God's blessing, it's because we are about to go through a time where there is no blessing. Not that God's not blessing us. He gives us a double portion. Think of it like this. Elijah woke up in the wilderness. An angel touched the rock. There was bread and there was drink. And he went 40 days in the strength of that meal. The Lord sometimes will give us a provision that will carry us through a lean time, a time when it could be fearful. But trust God. That's why he gave the double portion. That's why he gave that provision to carry us through by faith until the next portion comes. And Moses said, eat that which is today. You're not going to find it. 6 days shall you gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there shall be none. It came to pass. Some people went out anyway. Some people, they just can't get it. They just can't listen. And they found how much? None. Not a single one. Not one. And we're talking a little time, not one. Didn't find any. That's when Moses said, after that, you know, I already read about take the pot of manna, put it in the ark. But look at verse 35. The children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Until they came to the land inhabited, they did eat manna. Till they came to the borders of Canaan. All right. Everyone was supplied. Every single person. Man, woman, child, and Omer. Every single one was supplied. Everyone got the same supply. God has no favorites. Whatever you need, God has it. He's not going to give more to this one and less to this one. It's the same to everybody. And it may not be in proportion like the Omer. Some may believe for something big, and some may believe for something small. Everybody gets it. According to our faith, so be it unto us. But he rewards, he supplies what we believe for, what we ask for. So if someone believes for something big, and someone believes for something small, and they both get it, they both basically got the same amount. It's just according to their faith. So let's comprehend, let's understand that for a minute. He's not favoring this one. This one was believing for it. He's not favoring and giving more to this one. He's giving exactly what they asked for, and to this one, exactly what they asked for. In reverse, let's look at it this way to try to understand that concept. Jesus looks at the woman who put 2 pennies into the offering, and he said, she has given more than all the others, giving huge amounts, because she gave from her want. They gave from their surplus. So she gave more, even though economically she gave less. So the one who gets what they believe and the one that gets what they believe, no matter half what the amount, it's the same because they're believing. According to our faith, so be it unto us. Every day they were supplied. Every day, including the day when none fell. Even in the day when nothing comes our way, we're supplied. Because he would have already supplied a double portion before we got to that wilderness. He would have already supplied a double portion before we got to that lack. Every day God supplied for 40 years. Every day, including the days when nothing fell, God supplied. Every day, we got to really get that concept. God supplies our needs every day. If he can supply the need of bread for 40 years every day, somebody do the calculation, Ken. How many days in 40 years? 365 days times 40. Somebody figure that out for us. That's how many days he supplied for them. He can certainly supply for us every day. There's not a day that goes by that God does not supply for us. Trust him with all your heart. Look to him. Lean not to your own understanding. And don't think, well, oh man, God did such a big blessing for me this day. I don't know. You know, when I heard... when the request came in to me for more food from another group, I wrote to our friends at Feeding the Nations. I wrote to Josh, and Josh was the one who was down here doing drywall with us. I said, Josh, have I used up my quota? Can we put in another request? And he said, absolutely. He said, just do the paperwork, put in another request. You know, and with God, it's the same. We don't use up our quota. He supplies every need, every day. 40 years supplied, I mentioned already. Twice as much, double portion on Friday. You can receive a double portion. But here, when they got a double portion, it meant they were going to go for a stretch without. The double portion was to make sure that they never actually went without. He front-loaded them. So that they had when they got to that lean day. None on the Sabbath. There was no supply on the Sabbath. God gave them the double portion the day before because the Sabbath belonged to him. One day. Now, we've changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday because the early church met on the first day of the week. Now, I know that you probably all know people or have friends or that are Seventh-day Adventists. I don't buy into that at all because my Bible says that on the first day of the week, the early church met. So praise God. One day, though, we need to give to God. One day a week needs to be the Lord's day. Our Lord. Now, when I was living in Israel, the Sabbath was when churches met. In Israel, the churches meet on Saturday. I'm sure, I've not been there, but I'd be sure that in Muslim countries, the churches meet on Friday because that's their Sabbath. Did you know the Muslim Sabbath is Friday? So I would imagine churches meet on Friday. Just like churches meet on Saturday in Israel and churches meet Sunday in the rest of the world. So, one day we give to God. That belongs to him. Now I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 4 and look at it in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 11. We'll start there. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Literally out of the Greek, that can be translated like this. I have learned to be independent of the circumstances. I have learned to be independent. Now let's take it back to the Old Testament. On Saturday, the Sabbath, no manna fell. But they were independent of that circumstance because of the double portion that fell the day before. When we trust in God, we can be independent of the natural circumstances because we know the supernatural circumstances will take care of anything, whether it be lack or whatever. But in order to be independent of the natural circumstances, we must be dependent upon God. Knowing him, believing, walking, expecting. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, those two, well, we always quote the last verse I just said, but it goes with the one before. He says, I can go through the Sabbath when nothing falls because I know how to abound in God the day before. I know how my faith will carry me through the lean times because I go from glory to glory. In between, yea, I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'm just walking through it, passing through. I'm not living there. I'm not stopping there, and I'm not staying there. I'm coming out on the other side where the provision of God is, where there's life everlasting. We must develop that kind of a trust in God that we don't immediately, when we come into that area of lack, say, oh my gosh, where did you go? How come? Why not? Where is it? Why are my prayers not being answered? How come? No. Look back. You've got what you need. You have what you need. Give it to God and go through powerfully. Don't go through crawling and begging. Go through in Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you and start living that real life right now.